Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android app store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
You know, yell at you because you got your phone. Listen, I believe that you're using your phones to advance the kingdom of God. Amen, somebody. And so I think we're live on Facebook Live. And so for those of you guys who are watching us online, man, we want to say big welcome to you guys. Amen. And if you're not following us already on Facebook, I want you to go ahead and do that, the Bridge Church VA, and share that video so that way other people can be a part of that experience as well. So today I want to start part one of this new series called One Word. And today I want to talk about the word trust. Somebody say trust. I need you to say it loud like you mean it. Say trust. Come on, say it like they owe you money. Say trust. There you go. Somebody owe y'all some money, huh? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is the verse that I want to preach from today, and it's a familiar passage for some of us, and for some of us it may be new. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. Somebody say trust. When I was preparing this message, I Googled the word trust and wanted to find some popular quotes that may kind of be out there pertaining to trust. And I found a few. One is really funny. One is very thought-provoking. But one from a man by the name of Ernest Hemingway, you may know who he is. He says this, that the best way to find out if you can trust somebody is to trust them. Somebody says, I don't know if I can trust them. Well, you'll never know if you never do. This other person named A.J. Lee says, never trust anyone who doesn't drink coffee. I don't drink coffee, so I guess I'm not trustworthy. I guess you got to find another church to go to. But I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, so I don't need coffee. But I found these quotes to be interesting because when we talk about trust can be a very complicated topic and complicated subject depending on the experience that you've had pertaining to trust. For some of us, trust, when you've trusted somebody, you've had success in that area. There was an accomplishment that took place. Maybe you trusted a process and you achieved a goal or whatever the case may be, and it turned out well for you. But for some of us, we've had other experiences when it comes to the topic of trust, where we trusted people and we experience hurt. We experience pain. We experience brokenness. We experience failure. I think there's a little bit of feedback up here in the monitors. But nonetheless, all of us have some type of an experience as it relates to trust. Somebody say trust. And the thing that I want us to ask ourselves today is, how do you think of the word trust? Like, what emotions come up in your heart and in your soul when you hear the word trust? Because all of us have some type of an experience relating and pertaining to trust. And this guy by the name of Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs and the scripture that we just read, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, Solomon was considered to be the wisest of all kings, second to the King of Kings named Jesus. Jesus is the wisest and the wise king. But it's interesting because here in Proverbs 3, Solomon speaks about trust. Somebody say trust. And it's interesting because Solomon, one of the things that he's also known as, he's not just known to be one of the greatest kings of all time, but he's considered to actually be one of the wisest kings of all time. And how that happened was, as he was preparing to enter his kingship, one of the first things that he asked God for, after God was like, ask me for whatever and I will do it, Solomon says, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to be able to lead your people. Now, I don't know about you guys. Listen, some of y'all, if y'all could be honest, if God was like, hey, ask me for anything and I'll do it, you probably would not have asked for wisdom. Lord, can you give me a meal? Can you give me $1 million? Can you give me my dream job? Can you give me my dream spouse? Can you give me this? Can you give me that? But I find it intriguing that Solomon actually, as you read the scriptures, he asked for wisdom. And it's interesting because he asked for wisdom, and here in Proverbs, which is considered the wisdom literature of the Bible, he gives us godly wisdom pertaining to the topic of trust. And let me say this from the jump. The reason why you need this message and you need to have a biblical understanding of trust is because the quality of your trust determines the quality of your life. Like, your trust is going to determine your life. Where your trust is going to determine where your life goes. It will determine if you experience joy, contentment, fulfillment. It will determine a lot of things. And oftentimes, what we realize is that our trust is probably not where it should be. We find ourselves typically maybe trusting in the wrong things, maybe trusting in wealth. Solomon actually had something to say about this in another book that he wrote called Ecclesiastes. It's the book right after Proverbs. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he talks about how he accumulated all this wealth. He was the wealthiest king of all time. Typically, he's considered to be even more wealthy than a Bill Gates or some of your billionaires in today's time. He had more than you could ever imagine. He had everything at his disposal. The Bible says that anything he wanted, he acquired. But at the end of chapter 2, he says something interesting. He says, after acquiring all that stuff, I realized it's meaningless. It's like chasing after the wind. Biggie said it like this: more money, more problems. That's the version of what Solomon is saying here. That I thought that the money was the answer to my issues. I thought that if I put my trust in a relationship that it would solve my emotional wounds in my heart. But I only found out that when I got those things, it did not make things better. Because I put my faith and trust in those things, it didn't lead to anything good. It led to things that were meaningless. It led to this emptiness. He says it's like a chasing after the wind. How foolish do you look chasing the wind? Have you ever seen somebody chase wind before? It's nobody saying anything. Maybe you were chasing the wind. If you see somebody literally trying to chase the wind, it's like, I got you. Got what? Solomon says, that's how crazy you look. That's how crazy we look, trying to chase after material possessions and putting our trust in all these things that this world has to offer. And it's interesting because the word that he uses here in trust, and trust in Proverbs 3:5, in the original language of the Hebrew, it means to put one's faith in. It means to have a total confidence and total hope in that particular thing. So what Solomon is ultimately saying is, where are you putting your total confidence in? Where is your hope attached to? Where is your life and joy attached to? Like, where have you put all of your energy, all of your confidence? Where is it? Somebody say, where is it? That's what Solomon is helping us understand here. He's talking about trusting. And the question that we have to ask ourselves today is, where's my trust? Have I put it in a trust fund? Have I put it in a relationship? Have I put it in a spouse? Have I put it in a career? Have I put it in an employer? Have I put it in a boss? Have I put it in my abilities? Have I put it in my health? Have I put it in my doctor? Where is my trust? And what Solomon does is so brilliant here in Proverbs 3, because here's what he does. He gives us some biblical principles pertaining to the topic of trust. Number one, here's the first thing when it comes to trusting. In verse 5, just alone, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Here's what Solomon is helping us understand. Number one is the object of our trust. The object. Somebody say the object. Solomon is communicating where our trust should be. That our trust should be in the Lord. That the object of our trust, the one and the place where our full confidence, where I'm putting all of my hope and all of my weight, should be in the Lord himself. Not anything else. I know some of us are like, Pastor, I know that. You know that, but do you do that? And I've realized that there's a difference between knowing and doing. And that distance is oftentimes very great. I know I should trust God, but I don't. Anybody ever done that before? Yeah. Like, I know that I should put my faith and hope in God. I've been following Jesus for some time, and I know what the Bible says, but I don't. Solomon says, the best thing that you can do is to trust God more than anything else. And it's interesting because here in verse 5, notice that he says, trust in the Lord. And if you notice in your Bible, the name Lord is in all caps. Why is this important? Because in this original language, the Hebrew word for the Lord here is considered to be the most sacred name of God. The name of God that's set apart from any other name on planet Earth that you see in the Old Testament times. It's the name Yahweh, and it's literally the most sacred name in the Bible. Like, to the point where Old Testament believers were in so awe of God that they wouldn't even say his name because they didn't feel like he was worthy of it, because his name was so set apart that in the midst of being in a very polytheistic type of society where you had all these fake gods and false gods and false deities and all these other places and pharaohs and all these other fake gods and things like that, Baal and just the whole entire nine, this name of God sets him apart from everybody else. And what Solomon is saying is, I want you to put your faith in the one who is set apart, the one who is real, the one who is true, not everything else. I love the fact that Solomon says this, because the name of God here, Yahweh, not only speaks of God's sacredness, but it also speaks of his faithfulness, of his grace. In other words, you can trust the character of God. The same name was used to describe how God delivered the people of Israel from Egypt. The same name of God was used to describe when he provided manna from heaven, when he caused water to flow out of the rock, when the people of God were in the wilderness. The same name of God is used all throughout the Old Testament, over 1,000 or so times. That's kind of a big deal. And so here's what Solomon is saying. He says, you have the opportunity to put your faith and trust in all these other false, fake, I want to be a God when I grow up gods. These little fake idols over here, Baal and this person and that person. You have the opportunity to put your faith and trust in all these, but it doesn't lead to anything. That the only one that you should put your faith and trust in is the Lord himself. Why is this important? Because off the back, we will put our faith and trust and confidence in so many other things except God. So we put our faith and trust in our own abilities or in what other people may say to us. It's like we don't have full confidence in who God is. But if God was faithful then, he's faithful now. His nature hasn't changed. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Here's what Psalm 20 in verse 20, verse 7 says. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. The psalm writer here says, some trust in horses, some in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Here's what the writer is helping us see, that people have a tendency to put their faith and trust in people, places, positions, and possessions. People, places, positions, and possessions. And what I found is all of us have fallen in the trap of trusting in at least one of them, if not all four. You put your trust and faith in people. Now, I'm not talking about not to trust people. No, no, no. You will never hear us say that, and that's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about how we should be in community and how we should trust in people, but that's not the same type of trust here. He's talking about putting your whole entire confidence in God. 100%, wholeheartedly. You will never hear in the Bible it say, trust in your friend with all your heart. No, 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 no. This trust is reserved only for the Lord. But the problem is, the trust that's reserved for the Lord, we place it in other things. That's where the issue arises. But the psalm writer says, don't put your faith and trust in the positions of this world and in the possessions of this world. Only put your trust in the Lord. But not only does Solomon tell us like who we should trust, but he also tells us how we should trust. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then in verse 6, 8, the first part of verse 6, he says, in all your ways acknowledge him, or in all your ways submit to him. What is he communicating here? That your trust in God should be wholehearted, not half-hearted. Notice he says in verse 6, in all your ways. In all your ways. Somebody say all. In all your ways. Not halfway, but all the way. All in. Not 75% of the way, but all. And here's what you got to understand. Half-hearted devotion to God is the equivalent of wholehearted disloyalty to God. Like if I'm half-heartedly trusting God, it is the equivalent of wholehearted distrust. There is no in-between. Like, I kind of trust you, God, but I kind of don't. No, 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 no. If you kind of trust God, it means you don't trust God at all. It's all in. Either yes or no. Does this make sense? And I can tell this is probably messing with some of us right now, because like if you're like me, you've been convicted of areas where you're trusting God and then areas where you're not trusting God. But God calls us to trust and to lean on him and lean into him with everything that we have. Here's what Jesus will say in Matthew 22. The great commandment is what is known as love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. Scripture gives us a clear picture and command, not only of who we should trust, but how we should trust him. I'm trusting God, and I'm doing so in a way where I'm giving my all to him. Let me ask you this question. Have you trusted God in some areas, but have yet to trust him in others? Are you trusting him in one area, but aren't trusting him in another? And what I've realized, if you're like me, is we can have a tendency to compartmentalize where we trust God. So I'll trust God. I'm going to tell you what's really crazy. For those of us who are followers of Christ, you will trust God to save your soul, but you won't trust him with your bank account. How does that work? I'm preaching to myself. Like seriously, like really? Like you can trust that God raised Jesus from the grave on the third day, but you can't trust that he'll open up a door. Do you see how fickle we are? Do you see how like crazy we sound? I'm just trusting God. No, you're not. That's just a bumper sticker tag for you. No. Trust means, Lord, I'm going to step out on water, even though I don't understand how this is going to work out, but I'm going to trust you because you are the one who said it, and you are the one who have all things under your control, and you are the one who is able to make ways out of no ways. You are the one who is able to make streams come out of dry places. I will trust you, even if it does not make sense. I will trust you. That is true trust. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. That's trust. It doesn't mean that you check your brain out at the door. It does not mean that I'm not aware of the reality of things. No, I'm very much aware, but I'm also aware that I can put my faith and trust in the one who is faithful. That's where Solomon is trying to get us to, the object of our trust, that we will put our faith and trust in him. And I want to get us to a place where we as a church, where we don't just trust God with the quote-unquote spiritual things. Like, we don't just trust God when it comes to, like, our salvation and stuff like that. No. I want this to translate into how you live your life Monday through Saturday. Like, seriously. Like I want you to take this to work with you tomorrow. That you are trusting God. That you are believing that he is faithful. That you are believing that he has plans to prosper you and not harm you. That you are believing that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That if you're followers of Christ and if we're following Jesus, that our full trust should be in him. That I'm trusting him to provide. I'm trusting him to guide my life. I'm trusting him to govern my life. That's the object of our trust. But here's what Solomon says next in the second part of verse A. Notice he says, and do not rely on your own understanding. I find that to be interesting. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean onto your own understanding. Here's what I want to call the obstacle to your trust. Notice here, Solomon says, do not rely, do not lean on. Now for us, removed from this Old Testament context and maybe not digging deeper beneath the surface, doing some serious exegetical Bible study type of work, you may just look at this as don't rely and don't lean. It just means don't trust in myself. But it's actually a little bit more, much deeper than that. The Hebrew word here for rely on or do not lean is the same Hebrew word that was used to describe this guy by the name of King Saul, who was a king before David was over all of Israel. And the Bible says that he essentially committed suicide. He was found laying on his spear. And the Hebrew word that was used to describe him leaning on his spear is the same word used to describe here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 of us leaning on our own understanding. Let me help connect the dots. Leaning on your own understanding is spiritual suicide. Y'all ain't not registering right now. Leaning on your own understanding causes injury. Just as Saul leaned on his spear and caused him death. Leaning on your own understanding does not lead to anything good. It leads to dysfunction. That's why the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. Because leaning on your own understanding, nothing good ever comes out of that long term. It always impairs you. It always injures you. Which leads me to this. What is the greatest obstacle to you trusting God? You know what it is? You know what it is? You. 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 Me? Yeah. Us. We are the greatest obstacle to us trusting God. I know what some of us are saying. But Pastor, the devil, the devil made me do it. He just makes things so difficult. He throws all these things my way, and he does this, and he plants this seed, and he does this, and he does that. Like other people are the reason why I'm not trusting God. My circumstances are the reason why I'm not trusting God. All these things right here, this is the reason why I'm not trusting God. You blame the devil, you blame everybody else. And I hear what, I understand it, but let me help you understand something. The devil, the enemy may plant the seed, but you are the one who chooses to water it. It can't grow if you don't water it. You are your greatest obstacle to you trusting in God. You want to know the sermon that you listen to the most? It's not what I preach, it's what you preach to yourself. It's real quiet right now. That's the sermon that you listen to the most. I can spend hours preparing a great message from God, but the message that you will listen to the most will be the one that you preach to yourself. And here's the question I'm going to ask you. What is it that you are preaching to yourself right now? Are you preaching the truth of God to yourself? Are you standing on that, or are you preaching to yourself the lies of the enemy? I don't know how I'm going to make it. I see all this stuff in my life. There's no way I'm going to make it. You're preaching a lie to yourself. Preaching the truth says, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I know the one who is able to make a way out of no way. That's preaching truth to yourself. Do you see what I'm talking about? You get in the way. I get in the way. We get in the way. We are our greatest obstacles to trusting in God, which is why he says here, do not lean onto your own understanding. Matter of fact, in verse 7, jump down, he'll say this, don't be wise in your own eyes, but instead fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Trusting in self over the Lord himself is the most arrogant thing that you and I can do. Because it says and suggests that I know more than God. When God himself has actually said, my thoughts are higher than yours. In other words, bro, I'm on a whole nother level. Level up. That's what he's telling us. Level up. He says, the problem is that you get in the way. I get in the way. And I found that to be true so many times in my life that I become the greatest obstacle to me trusting in God. Think about how many things you have talked yourself out of doing. People want the blame. Think about how many times you talked yourself out of not going back to college. Think about how many times you talked yourself out of not pursuing the thing that God had called you to pursue. It wasn't the devil, it was you. You talked yourself out of it. I know what some of us said, Pastor, I don't like this message at all. It's the truth. The enemy is a problem, yes, but you can sometimes be your worst enemy. Because you convince yourself, not of the truth of God, but of the lies of the enemy. Like, Satan came and tempted Eve, but she was still the one who chose to eat it and believe the lie. You get in the way. I feel the spirit of Ludacris saying, move, get out of the way. Tell the person beside you, get out of the way. You're in the way. And there's so many things that God has been trying to do in your life, but you're taking up too much space. He said, would you just get out of the way and just trust me to do the thing that I've called you to do? Would you just trust me? Get out of the way. You are your own worst enemy. You have created all these stumbling blocks for yourself. You have convinced yourself that you are not worth anything. You have convinced yourself that you are not made in the image of God. You have convinced yourself that God does not have more for you than you could ever imagine. You have convinced yourself that he can do exceedingly, abundantly more. But when you begin to trust and believe that he is for you and not against you, that's when you begin to see things begin to change, which leads me to the third point, which Solomon says here, the outcome of our trust. He talks about the obstacle. He talks about the object, but here he begins to shift gears and talks about the outcome of our trust, that our trust should be in God himself, nobody else. And we need to deny ourselves, get out of the way so we can actually trust God. Matter of fact, let me go back. This is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone wants to follow me, or in other words, trust in me, let him deny himself. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Get out your way. Get out of the way. You got to deny yourself. You have to crucify your flesh. You have to make up in your mind and say, I am going to trust God. I am no longer going to get in the way of the things that God wants to do. Let me say it like this, that in order for you to follow Jesus, you have to stop following yourself. You got to deny yourself. Because here's what happens when you do. Here's what happens when you decide, I'm no longer going to trust in my own ability and my own knowledge. It leads to what verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him or know him, and he will make your paths straight. Why should I trust God? What will happen when I trust God? Solomon gives us the answer. God will direct your life. I'm sorry you were looking for a PhD answer. I don't have nothing deeper than that. But I guarantee you that's the thing that you've been looking for your whole life. Some of us have been praying, God, would you just give me direction? Give me direction. He said, I already gave it to you. You just ain't been trusting me. God, would you just do this? Would you just do this? Would you open up this door? Would you open up that door? Would you just trust me? Would you just trust? How many of y'all got trust issues in here with God? Let's just be real. Thank y'all for being honest. All y'all others, y'all fake. I'm just kidding. I thought about calling this message trust issues, but since it was a one word series, I can only condense it to one, trust. But we got trust issues. We got trust issues. And it's so amazing how time after time we can see God do incredible things and still not trust him. Have you ever found that to be interesting? Like you prayed for a miracle and a crazy breakthrough in your life, and he did it. And then you find yourself in another tight situation worrying, but you just saw God open up the floodgates of heaven. He just parted the Red Sea. Do you not think he's able to provide food? Seriously, isn't it crazy? How crazy do we look to God? But he says, when you trust me, the outcome of it is it leads to life and it leads to direction. Here's what Proverbs 16:3 says. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Commit your actions. In other words, what is the writer saying there? Trust him. Trust him with your actions and your plans will succeed. When you entrust yourself and your life to God, what happens is God brings success for your good and his glory. Do you want to know the key to a successful life? I'm going to blow all of the self-help books out of the water right now. Do you want to know what the key to living a successful life is? Do you want to know? Say yes. Do you want to know? Yes. Trust God. Trust God. No, Pastor, it's much deeper than that. I just saved you all this reading, all these resources. Trust God. Jesus would echo this in John chapter 15, that if you want your life to be fruitful, abide in me. Like if you want success to flow in your life, the key to success in me, the key to a fruitful life is a faithful life, a trusting life. It's when I'm trusting God. That's what it's all about. It's about getting to a place where I trust God in everything, for everything, through everything. Here's what Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 5-8 says. This is what the Lord says. Notice what it says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. Oh my gosh. I love how God just gets very direct with us. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, also yourself, who draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Notice what he says next. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Let me give you the Cliff Notes version of what Jeremiah is saying here. Putting your trust in anything else but the Lord leads to a life of decay. There is nothing substantial there. But Pastor, I can make all this money and not even trust God. Yes, but you will have no peace of mind. You will always have this desire to get more and to get more and to get more and to get more. And you will get like Solomon at the end of your life and say all of it was meaningless. He says a life that is apart from trusting in God is a life of decay. It withers. It has nothing to show for. It's superficial at best. It has no substance. But notice what verse 7 says. But, somebody say but. But blessed is the one. Blessed. I don't know about y'all. I like to be called blessed. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. You see it? Not blessed is the one who has a lot of money. Not blessed is the one who's driving a Maserati. Not blessed is in the one who just got their career choice. Not blessed. In, no. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. I love that. Its leaves are always green. No matter what season you are in, you will always have some type of fruit to show for. That's amazing. That's incredible. That no matter what kind of difficult season you come in, no matter what you find yourself up against, when you're trusting in God, favor of God is still flowing through your life. That's what it's about. Then he says, it has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails. It never fails. It never fails to bear fruit. The outcome of trusting God is a life that leads to fruitfulness and substance. It's a life of prosperity. Prosperity is not you being rich. Prosperity is found when you trust in Jesus. That's where it relies. How do I know this? Because you can get all the money in the world today and lose it tomorrow. That is not being blessed. Being blessed is having something that cannot be taken away from you, which is the gift that God gives as a result of you trusting in him. That's the outcome. The outcome is a blessed life. And I love what he says here. He says, it does not fear when heat comes. It has no worries in a year of droughts. I love this in the fact that God says this here. Because oftentimes the lie of the enemy that we oftentimes have believed, let's just be real, is that by putting my faith and trust in God, that means I'm going to go through a trouble-free life. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Like literally, it is. Because Jesus never said that trusting in him for your salvation would ever lead to a trouble-free life. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, in this life, you will have many troubles. Putting my faith and trust in God does not prevent troubles from happening. Putting my faith and trust in God, it preserves me through them. That's the difference. It doesn't prevent, it preserves. In other words, when I'm going through difficult moments, it means that when I put my faith and trust in God, I can have my mind still be at ease. It means that even when things are falling apart, I am not falling apart. That is what it means to put my faith and trust in God. That is the outcome. He will make our paths straight. And here's the thing that I want to get us to. I want us to see that when you put your faith and trust in God, he will open up doors. He will answer prayers. He will make ways out of no ways. He will, as the Bible says in Proverbs 3, make your paths straight. It does not mean you will have smooth paths, but it does mean that you will have clear paths. It means that God is leading you. It means that God is guiding you. It means that I'm trusting and believing, and I know that God will take care of me, that he will provide for me, that he will comfort me, that God gives me everything that I need by trusting in him. Is there anybody here that knows that putting my faith and trust in God was the best thing that I ever did? Like the things that I was most concerned about, the things that I was most worried about, when I put my faith and trust in God, it seemed like things just began to open up. It seemed like things that I was trying to figure out how it was going to work it out, as the old church would say, Jesus literally had already worked it out. Because I put my faith and trust in God, I saw it happen, and he provided. Matter of fact, recently our family, we were in need of getting a new vehicle. I told you guys a while back that we were having some car problems, and so that led to us having to go get a new vehicle, and so we had this idea of getting a new vehicle, and we knew the price range that we needed to stay in. How many of y'all know, like, blessing on the budgets? I don't believe in that. Just go name it and claim it, call in the hall. Just go sign on the dotted line for a $100,000 car when you don't make that much money. That's foolish. That's not wise. That's not faith. That's foolish. I'm trusting God to provide. No, you're not. No. That's called stupidity. Don't put God's name in that. But nonetheless, we were trusting God. And so we had this price range. We kind of had this goal. And so we went to the dealership and we saw all these different options that we were kind of looking at. And we saw two in particular that we liked. The one was okay, but another one had all the features that we wanted, but it was out of our price range. But we felt like God wanted us to have it. I don't know if you've ever been in that place before where you're like, Lord, I feel like this is supposed to be mine. I can't afford it, but I just feel it in my spirit, in my shanana. Anybody ever felt that before? Y'all ever felt that? Just feel it, man. Just the oil is on it. Ooh, Jesus, I feel it. And so we looked at the price range. We were like, man, I don't know how this is going to work. It drove nice. We test drove it, all that good stuff. And I remember we were sitting down, and we were just kind of thinking about it, and we were praying about it and stuff like this. And we literally, our thought process was like, okay, Lord, if you want us to have this, you will make it happen. So we get to the dealership, we begin to have negotiation and conversation. Ariel, she's like the queen at negotiation. I'm just sitting there, you know. Yep, whatever she's saying, go. Go on, go for it. And I remember they kept coming back and forth as we were kind of negotiating, and we had a number in mind. I won't tell you the number, but we had a number in mind, and the last time they came back to the desk, they said, "How's this number?" And it was the exact number that we said we could fit. And it had all the features that we wanted. It had everything that we needed and some more. And we got it not just at the price that we wanted, but we got it below the price that we actually wanted in the first place. What am I trying to help us understand? That when you trust God, He has a way of giving you the desires of your heart. Like the thing was about $5,000 more than we actually wanted to pay. And it was like $1,000 after $1,000. After $1,000, after $1,000, just continue to drop. Who else does this but God? This isn't some slick negotiation. This is called the favor of God. That when we begin to trust God, when we begin to give Him our cares and concern, we realize that He actually cares more about us than we realize. That's why the Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Maybe part of the reason why you have not yet seen the favor of God flowing in your life is because you won't yet trust Him with your life. You won't trust Him. And I get what some of us are saying. Pastor, I'm in the middle of a situation right now. I do not know how it's going to work out. I don't know either, but I know God does. And what was a surprise to you financially was not a surprise to Him. He saw this from all of eternity. He has a plan. I say, why don't you trust Him? What could go wrong? Nothing. What could go right? Everything. Trust Him. Somebody say, trust Him. That's the outcome of your trust. When you trust God, that's when He begins to open up doors. That's when He begins to do things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. I love what Corrie Ten Boom says. She says this, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Pastor, I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't know how this is going to take place. Pastor Edwin, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know what's going to happen down the road. But God does. Trust Him. He was in your future before you even got there. He was in your past before you even arrived there. He was in your present. He is. He always will be. Trust Him. Trust Him. That's the word for many of us today, all of us in here today, to trust God. And I know for many of us that seems like a very simplistic word, but I believe that is the word that God is calling all of us to, is to trust Him. Because that's part of the reason why we have yet to give Him over certain things. Some of us are like, Pastor, I want to give to the local church and I want to honor God with my finances, but I just don't have enough. Would you just trust Him? Would you just honor Him? Would you just take a step of faith? Because what happens is He will take your little and do a lot with it. He has a way of taking little and making much out of it. He has a way of taking nothing and making everything out of it. He has done that countless times. Would you trust Him? Would you trust Him? Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You don't know enough. You are limited in your knowledge. But when you trust Him, He'll make a way out of no way. And some of us here, man, we're confused right now. You're trying to figure out, what am I supposed to be doing? What's my purpose in life? You're trying to figure that thing out. What am I supposed to do? How do I begin to find out what God wants me to call, is calling me to do? All of us in here have just a bevy of things right now that maybe God is calling us to trust. But in this area, finding out my purpose and finding out my calling and using my gifts to serve others. And you're trying to figure out, man, I've been trying to search for purpose for so long, but I have not found it. What is it? How can I go about finding out what it is that God has called me to do? What we do here at our church is the growth track. We help you. But you got to be willing to take the first step to trust God. You have to be willing to take a step of faith. You have to be willing to trust Him and to believe that not only is He good, but He has a purpose for your life. And that if you take a step, that God begins to reveal all the things to you that you've been longing for, that you've been praying for. Some of us right now, you are in the middle of a financial crisis. I know that because I've talked to many of you right now. And you've been trying to figure out, how is this going to work out? And you've been trying to get very creative with your finances. I ain't saying nothing wrong with that. Get creative. But at the core of it, have you trusted God? Because it doesn't matter how creative you get. It doesn't matter. If you have not trusted the Creator, none of that will matter. You will be frustrated. But when you begin to align yourself with the will of God and trust Him, you will begin to see God open up doors. Here's the best thing that you can do today. I'm closing with this. The best thing that you could do today is to trust God with everything. It's to trust Him. I'm talking about trusting Him all across the board. Trusting Him in your marriage. Trusting Him in your parenting. trusting him with your finances, trusting him with your career. It blows my mind how oftentimes, and I'm convicted of this as well, how there are certain things that we'll pray about and there's certain things that we don't. I heard one pastor say this, that the things that you don't pray about are the things that you think you can handle. So now what I've tried to do is I begin to pray about everything. Lord, I give you this. Lord, I put this in your hands. Lord, I trust you with this. Because the things that you put in his hands, he does amazing things with. And the greatest thing that you can do in trusting God is to trust him with your life, is to give him your life, is to devote your life to him, to love him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That is what trusting him is all about. I want to read you a scripture as we close. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. It says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Any person who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They had the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Which means that the minute you put your faith and trust in Jesus, the minute that you give him your life, the minute that you believe that he sacrificed his life on the cross, that he died for your sins, that God raised him back to life on the third day, is the minute you begin to receive his life, the perfect life that he wants to give you. It's the minute that he becomes your good shepherd, leading you to still waters, leading you to green pastures, providing for you, giving you everything that you need. Because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus. And the question I want to ask myself today is, where are you right now on the trust scale? Is your trust more on of a one when it comes to your relationship with God, or is it inching closer to 10? And you may not ever reach 10. I don't think any of us will as long as we're in this life. But the goal is to keep moving that needle more and more. In every season of my life, I'm trusting God more. In every phase of my life, I'm trusting God more. I'm trusting God more. I'm trusting him. And I believe this word is prophetic for many of us here today. Because I can sense it. I can see it. You know how you come in. Sometimes on Sundays, somebody asks you how you're doing. Oh, I'm good. No, you're not. You are stressed. You gave me a stress. You got no sleep last night. And I believe God is speaking to you, telling you to trust. Give me everything. He's put it all. Put all of the chips of your life in my hands. Just trust me. I got it. I know what I'm doing. That's what he's saying to us this morning. And the question I want to ask us this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, is have you trusted in him? Have you given him your life? Have you said to Jesus, Jesus, I believe in you and I'm giving you my life. I want you to take control of my life. I want you to lead my life. I want you to cover my life. I give you my worries. I give you my concerns. Your word says to seek first your kingdom and everything else will be added. Today, I'm trusting in you. So there's two things that I want to lead us in a moment of prayer with. Is number one, if you're here this morning and you have not given Jesus your life, you have not trusted him with your life, please do not equate you coming to a church service with you trusting in Jesus. No, that is not the same. You trusting in Jesus says that I'm giving him my life. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have life and have it more abundantly. If you have not done that, you need to start there. And let me help you understand something. It will be the greatest decision that you will ever make. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I need to trust in Jesus. I need to give him my life first. I need to start there. I want you to say these words after me. I want you to believe it. The Bible says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. You won't be disgraced. If this is you, repeat these words. Say, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, that you rose back to life. I believe that you are my Lord and that you are my Savior. I receive your life. I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. I give you my life. I give you my hope. I give you my trust. In Jesus' name, amen. While every head is still bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning, and if you could just be honest, I'm not gonna ask you to do anything right now in this moment, that's weird or whatever, but But I do want to ask you just to respond to this. If you're here this morning and you're like, Pastor, I'm struggling in this area of trust. I hear what you're saying, and I need to grow in my level of trusting God. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be serving on the team or you're sitting in the chair. It doesn't matter. But if you could be honest and say, man, I need to trust God more. I need to trust him with my life. I need to trust him with my finances. I need to be better because I know that he has plans to prosper me and not harm me. If that's you, could you just be honest and just slip your hand up just so I could just see you? Awesome. Thank you guys for your honesty. Amen. Amen. Father, for every outstretched hand, I pray, Father, that you would overwhelm them with how much you love them, number one, that you would show them how much you care for them, that you would show them how much you are for them and not against them. Lord, you have shown countless times in the past of how faithful you are and how trustworthy you are. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to trust in you, not just in some things, but in all things, that you would not just be Lord of some, but that you would be Lord of all. So, Lord, we give you our worries, we give you our concerns, we give you our burdens, we give you all of our cares because we know that you care for us. And I believe in faith, Lord, that as we're trusting in you, that we will see you do incredible things in our life, that you will make our paths straight. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for our trustworthy God this morning. Amen. Amen. So, hey, if you're here this morning and you prayed that prayer to give Christ your life, that first prayer, and you said yes to Jesus, you've made the greatest decision that a person could ever make. And we want to celebrate with you. We want to help you take that next step. So if you're here and you did pray that prayer, here's what I want us all to do. Pull out that connection card in the pocket in front of you. And I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ. In a moment, we're going to worship God with our giving. And I want you to drop that in the bucket as it gets passed around because we just want to...